Welcome to lesson number two, precision and accuracy. The point of this section is, obviously to tell you what precision and accuracy mean, but it goes a little bit further than that. It goes into this idea that sometimes in everyday language, you might think you know what a couple of words mean, and you might even think that they mean the same sort of thing, like precision and accuracy. But in physics, they have definitions that are actually different. And we have to learn the importance of that because beyond just these two words, there's other phrases and there's other words that we're going to use that in physics have very specific definitions. And if you instead try to give answers about something where you're choosing one word as opposed to another, you might actually completely change the meaning of your answer, and your answer would then be wrong. So that's what I really want you to watch out for and use this precision and accuracy as sort of an example in the back of your head. So click and click again. When we're talking about precision and the word precise, what we mean is something, and this goes for both precision and accuracy, it's something about the measurements that we're doing of stuff. So if I said that I just went out and did a whole bunch of measurements of something and my measurements were very precise, what I mean, click, is that I did a whole bunch of measurements, and when I was done, I found that they were very close to each other. So maybe I measured the distance that something moved, and I did it 5 times. All of the answers that I get, even though they might be a little bit different from each other, they're going to be close to each other, within reason, essentially, is what you can think of. Then I would say that my measurements were precise, that my measurements had precision. The only problem with that is, and this is something that you have to realize, I never said that means they're correct. It doesn't mean that I actually did a good job of doing those measurements. Because what if I was using a ruler that had part of the end of it broken off so that every measurement is like 1.2 centimeters shorter than it should be? My measurements would all still be precise because they would all be measured about the same amount. But the problem would be they're all effectively wrong. And that's where the word, click, accuracy, to say something is accurate, comes in. Click. Because this means I just took a whole bunch of measurements and they agree with each other. They agree with what we can think of as being the correct true value, though, of that measurement. That might mean that there is something on a data sheet that we can look at, or maybe in a textbook someplace, or other authoritative sources in science have done that measurement before us, and the measurement we got is, at least within reason, the same as what they got. That's what accuracy means. So, click. Imagine that you're doing an experiment where you want to measure the temperature that water boils at. And so you take 5 containers of water, you heat each one of those containers up while sticking a thermometer in there, and you measure the point where the water starts to boil. You measure the temperature that happens at. And you get the following data. Click. You can see I've got 5 trials here. And you look at the answers that we get where temperature, given in degrees Celsius, notice that because this is a table of values, I'm giving titles at the top, and then in rounded brackets for temperature, I'm showing you the units that I measure in. I should not be writing degrees Celsius after each number. I put that in the heading of that column. Okay, but I did these 5 measurements, and I'm hoping that when you look at these, you can say, well, they're all pretty precise. Because when you look at all 5 of those answers, do you notice that they're all sort of mid to high 60s? So they effectively agree with each other. They're close to each other, if you want to think of it that way. So great, we've got good precision. But I want you to think about it for just a moment. Is that the temperature that you expect to observe water boiling at? I'm hoping you're saying no, because you've been taught at various points throughout different science courses that water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. So those numbers are all way too low by like more than what I would call a comfortable margin, because they're all considerably under 100 degrees Celsius. So even though I could say all of my measurements were precise, I really can't say that they're accurate. Quite often when you have good precision but bad accuracy, It means that something in the measuring device you were using or the way you were using that measuring device was wrong, and you were doing it like consistently wrong. And so you always get the same sort of error factor popping in. But the other thing that I want you to consider is that maybe there's a way that those five trials that I'm showing you there are also actually accurate. Because if you think about it, at some point when you were taught about water boiling at 100 degrees Celsius, you were probably also told something about how that's the temperature water boils at sea level. You might have even heard about things like standard atmosphere temperature and pressure, you know, or STP, stuff like that, in maybe like a chem class. That is the assumption that we often give when we talk about measuring the temperature that water boils at, is that we're doing it at sea level, which means that the atmospheric pressure above is probably going to be somewhere around 100 kilopascals. Now, if I go, let's say, up into the mountains in Banff or something, I'm going to be considerably higher up than I would be at sea level or even in Edmonton. If I go to a higher altitude and there's less atmospheric pressure above us, water will actually boil at a lower temperature. So maybe this experiment was done in Banff and those numbers we're getting, 68, 67, all that sort of stuff, those are actually accurate for the location that I'm in. So maybe the accuracy is actually pretty good. And maybe that means that instead of just throwing away data that you think might not be accurate, sometimes you do want to reflect on it and say, am I observing something new and different and special here because of something that's happening in the experiment, the way that I've set it up? Click again. Now, this is my way of kind of trying to help you remember the difference between precision and accuracy. It's the dart game example, okay? So I tell you that we're going to throw some darts at this dartboard. And we're going to have a little friendly wager on it, of course, okay, just to make things interesting. So if I can throw my darts at the dartboard and get the bullseye every time, you're going to buy me a Dr. Pepper, okay? If instead, though, I am not able to get the bullseye, what I'll do is I'll give you a passing mark of 60% in physics. And you never have to do anything, though. You're not going to write any tests or anything like that. You don't even have to show up for any classes, nothing at all. You're just automatically getting 60%. So you think this is a pretty good deal. So I take out my darts and click, 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 click. Oh, wow. You should have the five locations that my darts just hit in the top left-hand corner of that dartboard. If I look at those, I do notice that they're all kind of clustered together. So that's kind of that idea of they agree with each other. They're close to each other. So what I could say is that in this case, I actually have pretty good precision. But what was the objective of me throwing these darts? It was to get the bullseye five times. And I really didn't even come close. So my accuracy was pretty horrible. Click. I've got good precision, but bad accuracy. That is very much like, if you think about it, that set of data that I just showed you, assuming that we were doing things at sea level, okay? Good precision, bad accuracy. But then I tell you that, hey, I want another chance throwing some darts, okay? Because, you know, if people hear that I'm just handing out marks this easily, I'm going to get in trouble, right? So we set up the dartboard again, click. And this time, if I can get the five bullseyes, you're going to buy me a case of Dr. Pepper, okay? But if I can't do that, then I will give you a mark of, let's say, 75% in the course. And you don't have to do any work for it, just automatic 75. You're thinking, hey, this is pretty good. So I go ahead and click, 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 click. Click. Five darts scattered all over the dartboard. Now, in this case, because they're not even really clumped together at all or anything like that, I would say my precision was pretty horrible. Also, my accuracy is pretty horrible. There's that one dart that looks like it kind of came close to the bullseye, but from the way these are all spread out all over the place, that looks more like a fluke than anything. So, click. I would say that my precision and accuracy are looking pretty bad. Neither the sort of the values in agreement with each other or in agreement with what they were supposed to be, neither of them is looking very good. So, click. I want one more chance. If I can get the bullseye five times this time, we're going to head over to Costco and we're going to buy out all the Dr. Pepper they have. It's going to be a lot of Dr. Pepper. Okay. But if I don't get the bullseye five times, then the agreement is that I will give you 85% in physics 20. I'll make sure that you're registered to have me for physics 30, and I'll give you another 85%. And I'll dress up in your clothes to take the diploma exam for you even. Okay? And I'm not shaving off the mustache. So if you don't have a mustache, too bad. Whoever sees me showing up to write your diploma is going to think you grew a mustache. Sorry about that. So you think this is a fantastic deal. I start throwing the darts. One, click. Two, click. Three, click. Four, click. Five, click. Man, you got to watch good old classic movies like The Sting. This is a con. You know, you give them a couple of easy wins and then you reel them in at the end and go for the big score. So yeah, I got five bullseyes here. So click. I think we can agree that this is an example of good precision because all of the measurements are again clustered together close to each other, and good accuracy because all of the measurements agree with what we wanted, the bullseye. Okay. So good precision and good accuracy. Question that I sometimes get asked, because it's the only combination that I didn't show here, is what would bad precision and good accuracy look like? And that's actually kind of a weird one to kind of come up with a good example of. And there's really only one way that I think it could happen. And that's that you only really take one measurement. Now, if you did that, if you only had one measurement of what's going on, you can't really say anything about precision. I don't even know if you could really call it bad precision because it's just non-measured precision. Does that make sense? It's kind of the idea that you would have the inability to compare it to anything else. And so that's why the precision's kind of bad, but the accuracy might be good because maybe you got dead on the correct answer that first time. It's just that it's not a very good way to look at things because you would really never want to find yourself in a situation where you're doing an experiment and you're going to do only one measurement, only one trial. That's bad physics pretty much all across. So, click. Is there such a thing as too much of a good thing? The answer is yes, definitely. Because sometimes people, when they start hearing about precision and accuracy, they think that, well, maybe there has to be like the best possible answer then that you can give. And what that often means for people, click, is that they get asked a question like, hey, measure how tall that doorway is, or they do a calculation or something. And they come back with an answer like 1,876.532879 millimeters high. And I look at them and I go, really, with the measuring device that you used, or from the numbers that were given to you to do your calculation from, do you honestly think you could give an answer with like that many decimal places? I think of most meter sticks that I've ever seen. There's no way that I could see from just the regular meter stick having those little single increment dashes in it, sort of, that I would get a measurement that would have that many decimal places in the answer. So, no, we can't do that measurement. And what you've got to think of in the background is that means that if you do a calculation with numbers that are given to you and an answer like that pops out on your calculator, that's not a reasonable thing either. It's not reasonable when we do a real life measurement. It's not reasonable when we do a calculated measurement of something. Okay. So click. What would be more reasonable than that? Well, probably something like instead saying, that we should shift probably away from millimeters, first of all, because that's a really small scale of measurement. And for something like measuring the doorway, that's probably not the best. And then we've got to get rid of a whole bunch of those extra digits that just shouldn't be there. So, click. Maybe a better answer would be something like 187.65 centimeters. Centimeters seems a bit more reasonable for the unit of measurement that I could use in this. And then certainly if I had to do other calculations in physics formulas, I'd change that to meters. But this is good as a measurement just on its own. And even to say decimal 65, that is within the reasonable limits of looking at the little tiny divisions that are going to be millimeters on a meter stick or something. So that seems like a more reasonable measurement. So don't get caught in the trap of, to be more precise or to be more accurate is to show a whole bunch of extra digits, when in fact it actually isn't something that's possible really. Always consider that. That's the end of this lesson. Thank you very much.